welcome to episode 91 of the Digital Days Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Swick, and this week we don't have Dave. Dave couldn't make it to one episode 100. I'm shaming him for that. He almost made it to episode 100, but he could not. He had to go on vacation. But instead, we brought on Josh Langford to fill in for Dave. How's it going, Josh?
It's going quite well. I know. I'm just the afterthought. That's fine. I can live with that.
Yeah. You know, we were like, oh, Dave couldn't be here. Let's just get Josh. What's he going to do?
Yeah, he's got nothing else going on. Don't worry about it.
We're not doing this live on Twitch, so you can't see that Josh is still rocking the 18-month quarantine hair. So we got long-haired hippie Josh.
To be fair, I started this before any of that happened. I shaved head December 1st, 2019, I shaved my head and told my wife, I'm just going to let it grow. I don't know how long, I don't know when I'm going to cut it, but we'll see. And then the pandemic hit and I looked like a goddamn genius.
I guess it worked out. You could always use that as an excuse. And if it went bad, you could be like, I'm being responsible. Like I couldn't go to the barber. In reality, you're brushing your hair every night, being like, oh my God, this is luxurious.
Well, I shaved it myself. And if I really wanted to, I could do it again. You know, I could take this all off tomorrow if I wanted to.
What would be the dramatic ballad you would cut your hair to, though? Because you would have to trim it with scissors first before you shave it, realistically. So you would need like a tragic song to do this to. You're in Jersey, so it could be like a Bon Jovi song or something.
Ew. No, I think it would be Queen's Don't Stop Me Now.
Okay, and it like builds up as you're yes. getting there. Yeah. As soon as the song kicks off, that's when the Clippers come out and just start buzzing. Okay. All right, so now we caught up with Josh's hair, which maybe we can get him to post a picture on Twitter of how long his hair is getting, but I doubt it. People are still waiting for you to post a picture of the city of Legos that you had built.
Oh my gosh, that's gone.
I took pictures of it, but
it's gone.
But you never posted them on Twitter, I think, and there are people like, post this on Twitter. Gotcha. So yeah, maybe we'll get you to post some stuff, or we'll join your OnlyFans to get the long hair photos.
That's what the hair is for, you know?
Yeah. But this is Digital Days Gaming. I had to say that again just because I'm doing a movie podcast, and I was trying really hard not to say the movie podcast name at the beginning of this because Dave usually does the intro. But I could bore you, but if you're already listening to this, you know where to find a podcast because you made it this far. So if you don't know where to find a podcast, I don't know how we're having this conversation. So tell your friends, review us on iTunes, all that stuff. We'll jump into the show a little bit with news. Only two stories, one pretty serious and then one of them an actual fun gaming story. But Josh, what have you been up to? It's been a couple months. I think we last had you on around like episode 60? Something like that?
Somewhere 70? Around there. My ankle was broken.
Yeah.
I was in the wheelchair.
Yes,
you were rolled right up to my desk. That's right. Yeah. Oh, yes.
So what is new with you?
I'm walking.
You're walking. Okay, good.
Yeah. On my own two feet. Still get pain every now and then, but I'm in rehab still and doing everything they got me doing. The swelling has kind of come down this past week, but doctor told me the swelling will be back and forth for a year or two. Mm. So just fitting into shoes is like a whole adventure. It's absurd. But 1,000 times better than I was even a month ago. I went through like 2.5 months of just literally 24 hours a day of pain. And I'd get like a little 5-minute respite every now and then and think things were getting better. And then it would all come rushing back and just, oh, it was miserable. But yeah, things are good. I'm getting back into work. The kids have been helping. My wife has been amazing through the whole thing. She's put up with all the crap. She's been cutting the lawn all summer, which she is so pissed about.
It's a hot summer too, so
yeah, but I did this for the past 12, 13 years that we've lived here.
Yeah.
And I just dealt with it. And I would kind of complain every now and then, and she'd be like, oh, come on. Now she sees what it's like. So,
I mean, you can get like the Hank Hill sit on mower, just temporarily.
No. Yeah. There's no reason. Our lawn is not that big. But it takes a good hour, two hours to cut the lawn, do the edging, you know, blow all the crap out and trim the bushes. It's not a small job, but still. But yeah, I mean, beyond that, I've been watching stuff. Haven't been playing a whole lot. I haven't had a whole lot of time for that. But I've played some stuff, but we can get into that later.
Yeah, we'll get into that later. Let's just jump into the news. I was debating on putting a story in because it's like, hey, we have Josh. Let's talk about fun stuff. And then Activision Blizzard had to be like the worst company to work for. And they're being sued by the state of California, specifically the Department of Fair Employment is suing Activision Blizzard after a 2-year investigation that basically discovered that they have a toxic bro culture work environment. There's a lot of stuff. Like, I don't know how much you read in on this stuff, since you don't really, like, follow gaming news more as thoroughly as you used to have to. But this stuff was leaking into, like, mainstream news because of how big it is.
Yeah, I skimmed some of the stuff, and I some of the things that caught my eye, I read through the full articles and all, and it's staggering. I read them, and I can't understand how that even goes on. I can't understand, like, it's beyond me. I can't understand that mindset.
Yeah.
That you would do that in the first place, and that you would do that at work.
Yeah. And then it seemed like it was encouraged.
Mind-boggling to me.
And covered up and an open secret, basically. I highly recommend people look at the various articles breaking down this very lengthy lawsuit. But some of the horrible stuff include a female employee who committed suicide on a work trip, who was being bullied and harassed by a manager. There was one of the leads on WoW was so known for his harassment that his BlizzCon hotel suite was called the Crosby Suite, which is a play on the Cosby Suite. They misspelled it on purpose for whatever reason.
Gosh.
I believe so. At least the article I read was misspelled.
To be not that obvious, right?
Yeah. But that's just how crazy this is of just like it was that known and for the most part protected. And it looked like Activision Blizzard did whatever they could to protect their higher ups, which is not an uncommon thing that we've seen these companies do, is they always protect the management. Like, it's known in the corporate world, HR is not there for the employees. HR is there for, like, the company. And this definitely seems like a lot of the stuff was known. It was open. But no matter who you went to report to, it didn't matter. But California Department of Fair Employment stepped up and are suing Activision on this. Activision has put out a couple statements. They put out their first statement was a little like, kind of big government is coming after them a little bit. They kind of pulled back from that just a little bit, but then they did the usual thing where they emailed their employees and were like, oh, we don't support bro culture and the usual stuff. But it was very much like HR trainings and therapists are on hand, but no real thing that was going to be setting change. This led to almost 1,000 or a little over 1,000 Activision Blizzard employees signing like a petition or a letter condemning management and demanding change to happen.
Did you read that letter?
Yes, I did. Letter. Yeah. It was pretty strong. It was good to see like that many people come together for that. This has led to some websites saying that they are going to not cover Activision and Blizzard till they see change, which is a really strong move to make. We'll see how that goes.
Honestly, just because every site should do that.
Yes.
The only thing they should cover is the lawsuit. Beyond that, don't cover the games. Don't cover anything else. because you can't. I mean, that's where they'll make a change, because without hitting them hitting their shareholders, essentially hitting them in the profits, that's where they'll suddenly say, you know what, we really have to change something here. But until then, they'll just skim by and just do the bare minimum.
Yeah, this is when you need like big sites and influencers to step up and say, hey, we're not going to cover this. And as much as you might not like influencers, they're called influencers for a reason. So if they decide to take their audience somewhere else, a smaller influencer might step up to try and like...
Pooty shoot.
Yeah, pooty shoot. I just finished Mythic Quest, by the way. But you get in those instances where they do have enough power that they could do something. And smaller streamers will step up if they have to like, because they'll see a market of like, oh, the big streamer left this game out of protest, and the smaller streamers will devour that. But it's good to see some sites that are well enough established that they can get away with being like, we're not going to cover these games. Will it hurt their bottom line? Maybe a little bit, but it will hurt Activision Blizzard more. This also has popped up that work on WoW has ceased as of right now. Based on how many of these things were happening at Blizzard, that kind of makes sense, especially some of the higher ups at Blizzard were named in this lawsuit. And then like, which I know saying like WoW, work on WoW is ceased, or like the new Overwatch map has been delayed or shelved, doesn't sound very important, but it at least shows stuff is happening and Activision and Blizzard aren't going to business as usual their way out of this. That's either the employees have like kind of stepped up and were like, I'm not going to work anymore, or someone finally had like the thought to be like, we can't really push out new content right now and act like nothing's happening. So someone is causing some sort of change at least.
Yeah. So their social media accounts I saw they've all been dormant for the past couple days, which is the right move because it's kind of a self-preservation move. The moment they tweet anything like, oh, the new blah, blah for this game has dropped, they're gonna, just going to get hit and hit.
And that's going to be on like media to like put the pressure on them still, because I'm sure they already did the math of like, if we wait 7.5 days, we can probably get away with pushing out the latest Overwatch map and pretending nothing happened.
Yeah. But everybody really, they have to just stop covering them, and streamers have to stop covering them, the websites have to stop covering them, and really hit them in the wallet. And that's where they'll make a change. Finally, that they'll have to make a change.
Yeah.
It's unfortunately the way big companies work. They don't respond to anything but money.
The thing that like makes us like even more like not sinister, but adds a lot more layers to it, is the last like 2 or 3 years we've been hearing about Blizzard leads leaving the company. And a lot of people assume that's because Activision was forcing them out over creative reasoning. But because this investigation's been going on 2 years and dozens, maybe hundreds of people were interviewed by the California Department of Fairness or Fair Employment, it makes you wonder if those leads were involved somehow or saw this was coming and were like, they need to bail right away.
Yeah.
So that adds even more to it. But this is one of those things where things aren't going to change unless like current leadership is removed, because I don't know how any of this can happen. And then you can just fix it with the same people in charge, because the same people in charge let this happen.
They did. Well, one of the articles I read talked about one of the most notorious guys involved in this stuff. And he was brought up to the president, the CEO, whoever's in charge here. I can't remember the names.
Bobby Kotick for Activision Blizzard?
No, it was... I forget who it was, but he was brought up to, you know, his higher ups.
Yeah.
And they basically just gave him a slap on the wrist multiple times.
Yes.
So, you know, the higher ups have to go, the people who did this have to go. You need like a sea change essentially in that company to make this right and to fix it. And I don't know that that's going to happen. I mean, look at, we've all kind of forgotten about Ubisoft at this point.
Yeah, and that's what,
and the mess that they were. They're probably oh, thank God.
Yeah. Well, you know? it's with looking back at the last like 2 years of Blizzard, of all the people leaving Blizzard, and we're just like, oh, it's Activision pushing them out because creative differences. They don't want to be a Call of Duty map. And then I think back to the Ubisoft one, where I think you were on when Ubisoft had the thing where the Beyond Good and Two Evil person left, and they're like, I'm going to go do my Animal Sanctuary. And then I think I was just like, oh, he's going to do his Animal Sanctuary. And you're like, well, wait, tomorrow we'll find out something else about it. And then like a week later, we found out that a French newspaper was saying he was bullying people. Mm. And he was just kind of getting out of the way of that news. Which now makes me examine anyone who's left at Blizzard, especially the higher ups, because this is all seemed to be at like that supervisor, manager, executive level at Blizzard. So it's just, it's horrible stuff that was happening in this. Again, if you haven't read it, which I it's hard to imagine people ignoring this, cause it's just been on everything. It's been on like regular news programs. You got to read this stuff up and then kind of examine your relationship with this content, which, there are thousands of people that work at Activision Blizzard, and ignoring their games might hurt them technically, but that's the only way you're going to get change.
Look, this is, and don't feel bad not buying the games.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
Because this is like the workers in, where are they, Oklahoma, that are working in the Frito-Lay plant.
Yeah, the Frito-Lay plant, yeah.
Where they're basically working 7 days a week, 12 to 14 hours a day. They're essentially slaves there.
Yes.
And they've asked, they begged people, please stop buying this stuff. Yeah. Because that's what's going to help us. Hit the parent company in the wallet and change will come. You know?
Yeah.
I'm fine. I don't need to buy another Activision game anytime soon.
Yeah.
I'm good.
I was thinking, because Overwatch started their summer event, and I haven't played Overwatch in a year, and I was like, oh, maybe I'll play Overwatch, and then this news broke out, and I'm like, you know what? I don't need to go back. Like, I'm fine. Yeah. And, like, WoW has been having issues because of just, like, bad expansions and the way things have been handled from a game perspective. And I imagine this could
dinner
be...
Dinner party.
Yeah. Just because of stuff like that. This could be enough to like take WoW down potentially in terms of...
That would be amazing.
Yeah, like...
If that happened.
It sounds...
That would be mind-boggling.
Yeah, it sounds like it's impossible, but like the WoW community weren't happy before this broke. Now there's like mass protests in WoW, which as silly as that may sound... If you have a monthly subscription to WoW, they already have your money, so you might as well protest in the game for the remainder of your subscription. Because they already have your money, you're not getting that money back, so you might as well protest. And a lot of the people that were named in the suit have NPCs named after them, which has turned into a whole thing where those NPCs have been glitching in and out of the server because people are just trafficking like that area.
Yeah.
And now with work cease, like WoW's future might be in jeopardy, but that's something that might need to happen just so Activision and Blizzard can be like, you know, they lose something important to their finances that would make them go, oh, we need to change the way things are.
Yeah.
This is going to be one of those things. I'm sure we're not going to get a resolution to this anytime soon. This lawsuit will probably take forever to go through, especially if it was a 2-year investigation to get to this point. And then we'll have to see if they actually do change, and they're going to have to announce changes publicly, which is something they probably don't want to have to do. This could be the end of Blizzard, to be completely honest, or at least Blizzard as we know it, which has already started to change over the last like 2 to 3 years in terms of Activision taking over Blizzard from a creative perspective.
Yeah.
That's that news. Sorry to start with something super serious. So let's go to some happier news, which is EA Play Live. They did their event, their E3 event, or whatever, E3 adjacent, since it was a month out.
I didn't even know this happened.
I know, so, I messaged you.
I don't have a whole lot to say here.
Yeah, some of the highlights are Codemasters, since they were purchased by EA, they are making a couple different racing games. I believe F1 is still coming out under the EA umbrella now. And then they announced Grid Legends, which is like a good combination of a sim arcade racing game. Or at least it has some arcadey aspects in terms of like putting cars that shouldn't be on a track together and allowing you to race them. But they're doing a single player campaign with like full motion video, like FMV, like cutscenes, which I kind of love because like the Need for Speed series, every time they've done a FMV has always been bad. Good. So this looks a little more polished than anything. They were touting, they're using, they name dropped the Mandalorian cause they're using the same tech that was used for Mandalorian to do these cutscenes. Mm-hmm. Though I think it works better for Mandalorian because it's like nature in the background. And this will be them using the background to be like the racetrack and the crowds, which I wonder how that's going to be pulled off. Might have some weird aspect to it, but that looked interesting. There's a new Apex character trailer that was revealed. Lost in Random looked interesting. That is coming out September 10th. That was something they showed the year prior. Battlefield Portal was announced. This is a aspect of Battlefield 2042. That's just basically a mode maker for Battlefield 2042 that lets players create custom modes with different rule sets, and you can actually use assets from 1942, Bad Company 2, and Battlefield 3. Two maps from each of these games will be there, but you can also mix and match like the weapons and the like the playable characters from that. So you can have Germans from 1942 fighting like the Bad Company 2 players, and then the Battlefield 3 characters. So you can mix and match stuff. That was probably the coolest aspect of it. I'm not the biggest Battlefield person. Like I'll talk a little Battlefield later because I am playing Bad Company 1 again, just because I was just like, I like those games. So this is an interesting aspect. Were you ever into Battlefield? I know you dabbled, right?
Yeah, I've played just about every first person shooter I played here and there. The Bad Company ones were good. I really enjoyed those.
I love those
More than probably any of the others. Can't think of the other ones so much. Yeah, I mean, beyond that, I'd love to get back to Bad Company 1 and 2 and just mess around in them.
They're on Game Pass, and that's why I just downloaded them, and I'm just like messing with the single player campaigns, and I think the multiplayer might still be running, but I don't want to know what that looks like. And then the last reveal, which was spoiled like a week prior, Dead Space is being remade. It's coming from EA Motive. It's coming to PS5, the Xbox Series S and X, and PC. They're doing it's been, the phrasing's been weird. They're like doing improved mechanics, gameplay, and story. Like they talk about improving the story. And again, this is EA Motive. This isn't Visceral. Visceral was dissolved. And they're actually making something else, which I forget the name of, that it looks very Dead Spacey, as an independent studio. So EA Motive is claiming that they are just going to make the story better, make gameplay better, make the mechanics better. And this is a full remake of the first one. A lot of people are saying this might be kind of like how the Resident Evil remakes have gone, which would be a good idea.
That's what I had heard. I had heard about, actually. And what I had heard was that, and who knows, my limited knowledge here in going into this, everybody probably has more knowledge than me. But my understanding was they looked at what Resident Evil had done and said, oh, we should do that, too. To kind of reboot and reacquaint everybody with this sort of dead IP at this point. And if it takes off, then we can make a new one, you know?
Yeah.
It's like testing the waters, essentially.
Yeah, and I'm so here for that. I am glad it's just not a cookie cutter like freshening up of it, a, you know, just higher resolution, consistent frame rate, remake. It's a, from the ground up. It's gonna be interesting what they mean by like better story, improved story. I don't know if that means they're gonna add to it, but the Resident Evil games added and took away stuff. I mean, if you look at like Final Fantasy VII Remake, they stretched stuff out, added stuff, and that worked out really well for them. So super on board for this. I never finished the first Dead Space, and it's just, I'm a coward. Yeah, I'm a coward.
Not because
so.
I'm a coward. I just I never finish games unless I'm super 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 into them, and I, or unless I had to review them and I was on a deadline, then I would finish a game.
I am older. I'm a little more brave. So I do have the first Dead Space like installed because again, Game Pass. We'll talk about Game Pass later. I'm sorry for saying Game Pass, guys. People get really upset when we talk about Game Pass.
Why? It's awesome.
I don't know. see, and you're Mr. Physical Release, and even you like Game Pass. But I have Dead Space 1 downloaded because now I'm more interested to play the old Dead Space game because they're going to remake it, and I want to compare and contrast, and I can handle scary games a little better than I did 10 years ago when this came out.
When you were 12, I know.
Yeah, exactly. Because Dead Space 1, was that like 2010? Oh my god, I'm googling it right now. I'm sorry. 2008. Oh, it was in the best year of gaming ever. 2008. So yeah, I would have been a senior in high school at that point, and I was still a coward. So.
Oh my gosh, you were a senior in high school.
Yeah, in 2008. Yeah, and you know what? 2008 is something I was just talking on with someone on Facebook, one of my friends. 2008 was the best year in video gaming, and I don't think anyone can deny that. I'm sure Josh would try to.
I'll find a way, yeah.
It's either like 2008, and there's like 1 year in the 90s that was good. But 2008 was like the best year in gaming for me, so that's probably why I didn't play Dead Space, because there was a ton of stuff that came out that year. But I'm now more interested in playing this than ever because of the remake. So I'll use Game Pass to do that. Just so you know, Josh, some of the games out in 2008, Grand Theft Auto 4, Fallout 3, Call of Duty World at War, Gears of War 2, Mario Kart Wii, Metal Gear Solid 4, Little Big Planet 1, Super Smash Bros. Brawl, Fable 2, Left 4 Dead, Mirror's Edge, Braid, Alone in the Dark, Bad Company 1, Burnout Paradise, Guitar Hero World Tour, Devil May Cry 4, Resistance 2, Persona 4, Rock Band 2, Lego Indiana Jones, I just said that for you, Valkyria Chronicles, Saints Row 2, 2008 was the best year in gaming. I don't know if anyone can find
a
better year.
Heavy lineup. Yeah.
Yeah. I think 2007 is probably like a close second for best. I always wanted to talk about this in terms of just like lining up like the best year in gaming. 2007 is really close because it's like Super Mario Galaxy, Portal, Halo 3, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, BioShock, Assassin's Creed, Mass Effect. So 2007 is really close, but 2008 is the best year ever for gaming. And why am I talking about that? Oh, yeah, because Dead Space came out in 2008.
So wait a second. So what about... Give me a second here. Oh, of course, right when I'm ready to do this. Okay. So what about, like, 1978 when you had, like, basketball and barnstorming and blackjack and bowling and carnival and casino and breakout?
You're just naming things. You can't just name objects and activities.
I have no idea when all those came out.
Running.
I mean, I could see when they all came out, but I'm just reading down my list of Atari 2600 games.
Yeah, yeah. I figured it was Atari related. But yeah.
Come on. I mean, they were the first of those games.
Being the first does not make them equal the best.
Oh, they had to be the best.
Dude, no, they were just there.
You were a dot on the screen. It was all about your imagination. It was all about that box art and just taking that and putting that in your mind when you're playing as a
duck. See, I'm just thinking of Mythic Quest when CW is walking in 1981 and I think he sees Pawn moving.
Yep.
And it blows his mind. A lot of my Mythic Quest, I just finished season two today, so there might be a lot of Mythic Quest talk every once in a while.
Yeah, I loved who they had playing him.
Oh, I love that guy too. From Silicon Valley.
He walked in. I'm like, Big Head. All right.
Yeah, I love that actor. He was also like Marc Maron's assistant in Marc Maron's TV show that was on IFC. Such a weird character actor, basically, but he's good.
He does a voice on some cartoon, and it freaked me out when I found out it was him. I was like, there's no way that's him. That's how does he do that voice? Doesn't sound anything like him. You better be looking it up.
I'm just trying to think of the guy's name. Josh Brenner. Go into his IMDb. People will love this when I'm doing this, probably.
What recent cartoon has he done?
DuckTales.
No.
He's on DuckTales.
Yeah, but that's not what I would have watched.
He's Donnie in Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. He's in that.
No.
He's in Clone Wars as a worker. Star Wars Resistance. No,
that's what it was.
Niku, he was a major character.
Yes, he was a major character, and that's what freaked me out. Like, I kept hearing the voice, and I'm like, who is doing this voice? This is such a unique voice. And then when I found out it was him, I was like, no fucking way.
Yeah.
There's no way. That's crazy. Yeah, he's good. He's a good actor.
He's one of those actors I could see him being around forever, and then you just see his IMDb, and it's just like, oh, he's in 200 roles or something like that. He has a unique voice and, like, acting style. Or at least he becomes memorable, even if he's, like, a side character.
Definitely.
Yeah. That's all we have for the news. Josh is here, so we're going to tangent a lot. It happens. I'm going to talk to him about physical media during what we're playing and watching, just because I've been on a journey that he'll probably enjoy to laugh at me about. But let's talk about what we're playing and watching. Josh, you said you weren't playing a ton of stuff, so we'll start with you.
Okay. Well, I don't know if I had been playing, like Mason and I got into Borderlands 3.
Okay. Already up to Borderlands 3? How old is he now?
Oh my God. He's 9.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I still think he's like 5.
Yeah, he's 9 and Zoe is 6 at this point. So, I was looking for something that we could play together because he got way into Ace Combat. Like he went all the way through the campaign in Ace Combat 7 and played through the campaign of Ace Combat 7 like a dozen times now. It's ridiculous. He wanted to play 6, and I was hoping it was just available on Game Pass or something, and you can't even buy it. I was like, if it's like $10, I'll buy it on the, you know, the digital download. It's not available.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know what? Somewhere in the attic, I have 2 sealed boxes of, or maybe 1 sealed box, and one was open because I wanted to look at what was inside, of Ace Combat 6, the special edition that has the flight stick and all this other stuff with it, a cover for, you know, the faceplate for the Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
Remember those?
Yeah.
So
I was always kind of jealous that 360 had that because I was a PS3 person.
I always thought those were so silly, and they came and went so quick.
Yeah. I just customizing stuff.
Well, like the faceplates they did for the PS4.
That was even shorter lived.
7 of them. Yeah.
You could only get on like 1 website.
Yeah, I have a couple that I picked up at one of the events at their little pop-up PlayStation store. But getting back to that, so I told him, you know, there's 2 boxes up there. Maybe I could find one. And I went digging. And I was still, my ankle, my leg was not good. It was getting up to the attic and then digging around in there was not a lot of fun, but I knew he would enjoy it. So I found it, and his birthday was coming up like within a week or two. So I wrapped it up, and, you know, we got, he opened up all his presents, and that was the last one. And he opened it up and his face just lit up like, what? And I was like, dude, open it up, go. But of course, you know, it's, and I learned the curse of this, all over the flight stick, it's rubber grips and things like that. And rubber.
Did it get nasty?
Very tacky, sticky, yeah. Tacky. Yeah, which rubber does. And there's no way to really fix that. I believe me, I looked. I was like, you know what? Maybe there's a way to fix it. There's no way to fix that.
Yeah.
So my latest option is maybe I can get like a piece of like thin plastic and cut it to the right size and then just stick it right on there because it's all sticky anyway.
Yeah.
And just stick it right on there so you're not holding that anymore.
I mean, you could strip it and then go to a craft store and get some like pleather or something and then go over that. It might be a little too much, but
that's way too involved for this flight stick that he's not going to use again. But he played a bunch of the campaign. We had to bring it downstairs because the Xbox One X does not recognize that flight stick, which I was hoping that at least that would. You can play the game on there, but the flight stick is only recognized on the 360. So we had to bring it to the basement and play it down here. And then he took the disc upstairs and he was playing it just with the controller. But, you know, I was looking for games we could play, and we got into Borderlands 3, which I hadn't played at all. And I thought, this is perfect. You and I can play it together, and we'll just start to go through the story. So we were having a lot of fun with that. I got Returnal, but I still haven't opened it. I got it from Gamefly for $14.
Yeah, I've been subscribed to Gamefly the last couple months strictly for deals. And it's also a really good way to get rare games that are out of print because they have the buy option when you rent it, which is a little bit of I'll talk about my journey with like collecting games because I got into that.
That's cool. Yeah, I just, for whatever reason, I opened up Twitter and I saw you could get a coupon for Gamefly. You could spend $10 and get a $20 coupon for Gamefly.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent $10 and used that $20 coupon to get Returnal for like $14. It was absurd.
So, Gamefly actually has some really good deals. They don't sponsor us, guys, so I can talk about how nice they are. They are really good too. Just like sometimes they have limited run games just in their store that you can just pick up, and it's like a really good way to get some like out of print games. But yeah, every once in a while they have like their used sales are ridiculous. I don't even think you need to be a member to get their used sales.
I'm not like a paying member, but I have, my account is still there.
Yeah, so as long
I
as you have your account,
the store and buy anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're actually, if you are subscribing, they actually have a pretty consistent run of PS5 and Series X bundles sell. But it's only to people that are subscribed to them that can purchase it. So it's like they still sell out fast and you have to buy them in bundle form, which isn't ideal. But if you're like desperate for one, subscribing to them wouldn't be a bad idea. So you can then pick up one of those bundles.
Yeah.
But their used sales, their used sales are ridiculous sometimes for what you can get. And their stuff is usually pretty mint because no one touches the case or the manual.
But the discs, even every single game I bought off there, the disc looks brand new.
Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah.
It never looks like it's some used disc that has been in people's grimy hands.
Yeah, it's not like the few times I rented something from like Redbox and then looked at the disc and I'm just like, this isn't going to play. so how's Borderlands 3 going?
We've slowed down on it a bit, but we're having a lot of fun with it. We were just he really started to get into it, and he was loving the loot boxes and, you know, the looter aspect of it, where you open up all those crates and you're finding all different kinds of weapons, and yeah, he was having a ball with that. So that was actually a lot of fun. I started digging into Jak and Daxter again. I don't know why. Just for
I've been
the hell
tempted
of it.
Because I finished Ratchet and Clank and I never went through the Jak and Daxter games.
Yeah. And I've never finished all the Jak and Daxter games. So I thought, you know what? I'll sit down and I'll just start to play these because they were on PlayStation Now, I think. So I've been playing the remastered versions of them, whatever they did for the PS3. To kind of update them for the PS3. They did that all for them. They did the Ratchet and Clank collection. They did, you know, all those cool collections there for a while. So I'm playing through the first one again because Zoe likes to watch me play those games. She has her own games that she likes to play, but she likes to watch me play whatever I'm playing. So I try to pick something like that that she can enjoy. I did get the new Ratchet and Clank, and I was playing that for the kids to watch.
It's so good.
I didn't get too far into it, and it was another one of those that I had to put it down, and I haven't had a chance to go back to it. One complaint I have about the PlayStation, especially versus the Xbox, you know, I'm jumping between the 360, the Xbox One X, and the Series X, and whatever game I pick up and start to play, it immediately syncs up my save, and I'm just ready to go immediately. I stopped playing, I was playing NHL consistently pretty much every night, NHL 19, I think it was, and MLB 19 or 20, playing both of them consistently every single night. And at some point, I went back and forth between the PS5 and the PS4, and I didn't update the saves because I had to upload and download the saves because the PS4 up in the master bedroom is not the
primary
one. Yes, because I put the primary one in the kids' room so that they could play all the downloadable games.
Yeah.
Without having to be logged in or anything. I went like 2 or 3 weeks in the season in NHL and MLB on one of them, and 2 or 3 weeks in the season on a different save, on an earlier save in the other one. And then when I figured it out and I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Now what do I do? And this was like 2 months ago, and I just haven't touched either of them since because I just haven't wanted to deal with it. I just didn't want to deal with it. I didn't want to figure out which one I had gone further with or done better at. And I was like, fuck it. And I've just dropped it now.
It, like, honestly, that I've been there a couple times just because I get frustrated that the PlayStation Plus doesn't auto do the saves. Like, it will, but then it doesn't consistently do it. Because I'll get the little notification in the corner. I get a lot of them of like failed to upload save, failed to upload save. And I'm just like, why did you fail to upload save? And then I click it again. It's like, okay, we did it now.
Most of them, because I've had that, most of them, they fail to upload the save because you played the game on the other console and, but with a different save.
Yeah, but so it's not smart enough
to match them up. It doesn't know what to do because the dates are conflicting and it just stops and says failed to upload.
Yeah. Instead of doing the thing that, like, I never really had that problem with the Xbox. Like, it just kind of just, I guess it the risk with the thing. The Xbox, I guess the risk is it's like, hey, here's the most uploaded up to date save. Sorry if you had anything on an older save. But I kind of prefer the way it handles on the Xbox because of that, because I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I was amazed.
You don't have to think about anything. Yeah. You sit down and you play a game. And that's it.
When I was using the Xbox on my phone, And it just pulled my most recent save from the Series X, and I was just like, oh, that's fucking cool. I thought I was going to have to do some weird account bullshit, but yep. It just checks immediately. And I've definitely run into that issue on PS4 and PS5. Yeah. And then they'll mess with your trophies, too, sometimes. Sometimes they'll just be like, oh, you didn't upload the trophy on your other account, but you didn't sync your trophies, so we're not going to show you that you got the trophy here.
Yeah, that's happened where I was sitting with the kids, and I looked at the trophies, or I got a trophy again. I was like, wait, I already got that trophy.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck's going on here?
Yeah, that happens a lot. Anything else that you've been playing? Did you mess with the, did you buy the Atari VCS? Did you mess with that?
I did. Yeah.
Do you like it?
I do. The main problem is that I plugged it into the TV in the living room. I don't know why, but there's no room in the living room. So it is behind, like, the PS, no, the Xbox and the PS3 are on the shelf, and there's like a center speaker. The TV is above them on this, because it's a cabinet, essentially. The Atari is behind the center speaker. I can hardly reach it. So I always forget it's there. And I've messed around with it. I love the controllers. They're a pro controller, and they're the old Atari joystick type controllers.
Mm-hmm.
Just the idea of using the stick itself as a paddle, that you can spin the stick.
Yeah.
All the way around 360. That's brilliant. Brilliant engineering. Just well thought out. I've been, when I turn it on, I typically mess with the games on, I can't think of the name of it. And it just keeps floating right close to the surface, and I keep forgetting it. It's based in Europe, and it's like an arcade thing. It's like a streaming arcade thing. And if I had Discord running, I would be able to pop it up, because it's right on there.
Okay.
They have staggering. They have like old arcade games mostly, but then they have old games from the Commodore 64 and old games from, like, games that I'm looking at, like, they shouldn't have, like, they have old NES games on there.
Mm-hmm. Ant Stream?
Ant Stream, yes, that's what it is. Yes, Ant Stream. And I haven't had to pay for it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, supposedly the backers, you're supposed to get a free account to it. And they said when you sign up, you know, you have to give this credit card, but you're not going to have, I didn't have to give a credit card. I didn't have to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been able to just play everything to my heart's content. So, if I have to pay for it, I probably won't, but
yeah,
it's very European centric. So it has a lot of games from European, the European version of a Commodore 64, like an Acorn, blah, 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 or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. I don't know what these, and games you've never heard of. I'm looking at them like, okay, all right, let me dig through this till I find something I know. But overall, you know, I don't know that it's worth it for somebody to buy it. At this point, they've got their own little store going in there, and until that becomes more of a fully fleshed out store, I don't know that it's worthwhile for a lot of people. I've wanted, and I got all the parts together, and I was going to put Windows on there, so that I could, or Linux on there.
Yeah.
Either one, so that I could mess around with it. Because if I put Windows on there, then I should be able to do Steam stuff, the low end Steam stuff.
Yeah.
I can upgrade the RAM and everything, but you know, chip shortages, prices are through the roof, so I haven't done anything with it, because of that. But eventually, that's what I want to do. I want to, you know, really dig into it and mess around with it, upgrade it, and really play with the other side of it, because you can just unlock it essentially and do what you want, which is kind of cool. So that's all I can. I'm sure I've played other stuff, but that's all I can think of that way. Do you go into playing, or do I go into watching?
You can go into watching if you have anything particularly you want to talk about. Some stuff's come out.
Yeah. Mason and I sat down with him. I don't know if we had talked about this before, if we were doing it at that point, but we sat down and watched all of Star Wars in universe chronological order.
Okay.
Okay. So I was trying to figure out which way to go, and I thought, you know what? Because we got to go through Clone Wars, the cartoon.
Yeah.
So we started at episode one, went to episode two, then went through the entire Clone Wars cartoon, the seven seasons of it. And while we were doing this, and Clone Wars is, it's the best Star Wars ever made. Mm-hmm. Mandalorian's a close second, but the Clone Wars cartoons are, they're amazing. So I found some guy on the internet who took all the parts from the Clone Wars. He redid all the movies in 4K, up-res them to 4K, and put back in all the deleted scenes. So that's how we watched the first two movies.
Okay.
And honestly, it made the first two movies better. There was a little more explanation. There was a little more character depth. There was a little more everything in there. When you got to episode three, it's a 4.5 hour cut of the movie, because he put the deleted scenes back in, but the end of the Clone Wars cartoon syncs right up with episode three.
Okay.
Like it plays parallel to it, essentially. The story's parallel. And there's a point in the movie where it cuts back and forth between the cartoon and the movie and the cartoon and the movie, because these things are happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So we watched it like that. And the first couple times it jumps from cartoon to live action, it's a little weird, but you get used to it and you don't even think about it after a while. And it was so fucking good.
Yeah.
It was so fucking good.
Was it too good that it made anything that followed kind of like, eh, this is okay?
No, because the cool thing is, and I thought he was going to burn out on it, but he loved Clone Wars so much. And I'll tell you, watching it this way was interesting. As we were going through it, he was hinting. He's like, wait, doesn't Anakin, spoilers, become Darth Vader? like anybody doesn't know this who isn't under 10 at this point.
They've seen a meme or a gif, so
yeah,
you're fine.
So he thought that, because also my wife spoiled it at one point. She's like, oh, Anakin, he becomes Darth Vader. I was like, shut up. And he didn't quite hear that. He was like, what? And I'm like, you know, and every time he would ask me about it, I'm like, I just kind of give a non-committal grunt. So when it happened, when the turn came and he turned to the dark side, he was devastated, because he had seen him grow up. He had seen that bond through that Clone Wars cartoon made all the difference, because he watched that bond form with him and Obi-Wan and him and Ahsoka, especially,
mm-hmm.
and how tight they were. And when he turned his back on everything and the younglings, that freaked him out. He's like, he killed
kids. Yeah, that's pretty devastating for a lot of people.
It was dark, yeah.
Even
was
with really context, dark. That's devastating, let alone someone who's just discovering everything in order.
Yeah. But the cool thing is, we were able to go from episode three and go right into Star Wars Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
And we went through all of Rebels, and when Ahsoka would pop up, he's like, oh, it's Ahsoka. And he'd get all excited. And then when another character would pop, it's cool because the characters keep popping up here and there,
yeah.
you know, throughout the things. The guy also had a 4.5-hour cut of Rogue One and Episode 4, you know, A New Hope. So we kind of did that. We made our way through everything. And when we were done, the Bad Batch came out. We're like, fuck yeah, Bad Batch.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
we've been watching that. And characters keep popping up in that. That he's all excited, and we're both excited to see. We're both like, holy shit, we're high-fiving each other. And so that's been a lot of fun. But once we hit the end, once we hit, you know, the last of all the Star Wars, like Episode 9, he's like, all right, now what? He's like, you're going to push me through Stargate now. You're going to kill me.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, there's Stargate. There's the whole DC universe on TV.
Yeah.
Which you watch those in order. So you're going back and forth between like Arrow and Flash and then Supergirl and then Legends. And then you jump back and you watch the next episode of all of them. And then the next episode of all of them and Black Lightning.
Well, what you got to tell them is like, okay, what complicated thing do you want to go through? Do you want to go through 7 DC shows that are all interconnected? Do you want to go through 60 years of Doctor Who or 10 years of Stargate? And then he's going to be like, I'll do the 10 years of Stargate.
It's like 14 years of Stargate because we're doing Stargate SG-1. And then when Atlantis comes in, you go back and forth on them and then Stargate Universe.
Yeah.
So starting with the movie and then going into the shows. But we talked about we're thinking about doing MCU.
OK,
but even
that's
with that.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Because I'm not making it easy. We're going MCU right up till Iron Man 3 and then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. turned out to not matter, like, at all.
True, but...
They lied about how much that was going to count.
When Coulson dies...
Yeah.
He's probably going to be... Spoilers. He's probably going to be devastated. And having Coulson pop up again, then explaining why Coulson popped up again. But just just for the first couple seasons anyway, because there's that payoff where there's the cool thing that happens like the week after Thor Dark World came out.
Yeah, yeah. They do like the
they're cleaning up.
Yeah, yeah.
They're in England cleaning up. Now, the cool thing, the whole Hydra turn. Because that's tied right.
Yeah, that changes the show completely. That's when the show gets good. But you have to do 3, 4, or 5 seasons before it gets good.
I think it was 3. Yeah. I think it was three or four.
But they were like 20 episode seasons because it was on ABC. Yeah. So it's like,
are
you going to do Immortals then?
I don't know. No, you know what? I'm looking at kind of the main ones. Nah, there's some that
Runaways is a part of this universe technically. Cloak and Dagger is technically a part
Cloak
of this
Dagger,
universe.
I know.
They wasted the Runaways and Cloak and Dagger, and I'm pissed. Like they can't use them again for a long time.
Well, they could. There's a way.
They can retcon.
I know
there's
a way coming. Yeah. But yeah. I went down the rabbit hole. I looked at the whole timeline in order with everything, and I'm looking at. Like Daredevil and Jessica Jones and Defenders and all that. I'm like, we're not going there because that's a little bit too intense, I think, for him.
Especially when he gets a Punisher and it's just like, this guy just shooting people and that's not great to see anymore.
So he said we could do that and we just haven't started it yet. But I want to get him through that and I want to bring my wife back into it because she missed a bunch of them. Because then when we get to, because they haven't seen Bucky and the Bird and they haven't seen Loki.
Yeah.
So I do want to get through and get them to the end and WandaVision. Because I think they'd all enjoy those.
You've went through all of them, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Except for the new Black Widow.
Okay, yeah. I've seen everything including Black Widow, but
yeah, Black Widow is the first Marvel movie I have not seen in the theaters on opening day. So, I was a little bummed out about that, but with the way the world is right now,
I paid the $30 to rent it from Disney Plus. It was cheaper than going to the theater.
I can wait. I can wait. I'm good. We waited for Mulan. We waited for Raya.
We paid for Mulan, and that was the biggest regret because that was terrible. but we didn't pay for Cruella because that looked bad, and we're not paying for Jungle Cruise. Because, like, why would we pay $30 for Jungle Cruise? It was just for the MCU. I'll probably do it for the Eternals, just because I still don't feel like I'll want to go to a theater in November.
Well, did you see Raya and the Last Dragon?
No, I haven't. That's, like, on our list to watch, but we keep finding...
really good.
Oh, and that's what I hear. But we just keep finding other things. Like, I found out that, like, Sarah... she bought a new phone, so she got Apple TV. So then I'm like, oh, I'm going through Mythic Quest. And then everyone keeps telling me I have to watch Ted Lasso. So I'm like, okay, I'll watch Ted Lasso.
No, you have to watch from For All Mankind.
Who is that with?
Ron Moore did it. Mm-hmm. Who Star Trek The Next Generation, the new Battlestar Galactica. So it's... so
two seasons. Okay, yeah, I think I've heard of this.
Two seasons, and it's set and starts in the 1960s, and it's what if the Russians beat us to the moon? How would the timeline, it's like an alternate timeline, and how would things be different? And it is spectacular. I mean, I'm a space nerd as it is, and it just, like, I knew things that were coming up, and I'm like, oh, how's that going to change? Oh, my gosh. Oh, geez. And the cool thing is, like, it, as dark as it gets sometimes, it kind of has an overall thread of hope of, like, you know, things could have been so different and things could have been so much better overall. And it gets real dark in a couple places. But it's fantastic. It's one of the best shows that it's on Apple TV. It's so deep and so well researched because they pulled out all this stuff that NASA had on the drawing boards that NASA was going to build, or NASA had models for, and they said, this is where we're going. And then the budgets got cut. So they didn't get to do it. But because it's this alternate history and this alternate timeline and the space race is still going right through the 60s, 70s, 80s, all that, they keep going with it. And it's fascinating to watch. It's really cool. They only take liberties in one place where it's the shuttle can make it all the way to the moon, which is kind of impossible. And they talked about that, and they said, well, we're just assuming that it, once it gets to orbit, it refuels at some station that we're just not even showing, and then it, you know, breaks orbit and heads for the moon. So, there. Deal with it.
They just say magic, and then you're like, oh, okay, cool. That's all you have to say.
But otherwise, they keep it, you know, as close to real as possible. It's fantastic. Just amazing. And Mythic Quest is awesome.
Yeah, so I finished Mythic Quest. I love that. That show is one of those shows that every once in a while they hit you with an episode to where you almost want to cry and you're like, how the fuck did you make me want to cry TV show? How did this like show about video games with outlandish characters get me on the verge of tears? They do that like two episodes a season, it seems like, where they're just like, oh, we're just going to hit you with this. And it's great. And I always loved, like, you know, Always Sunny. And I liked, I love Community. So seeing like Danny Pudi in another show where he's kind of playing like a, like, it almost feels like he's a different version of Abed. Like if Abed from Community was a full sociopath, with how he runs his, that character, the show is just so good.
Rickety Cricket.
And then like any time like early on, you know, like with any show, you watch a show and you're like, I don't really like that character. But then the show within like two or three episodes, it's like, oh, I actually love every single one of these characters and want to see what
This is good because I've wanted to ask you or one of you guys this. Watching the show, just because of the people we've spoken to over the past 10 years or however long it was, at all these different events, I find myself every now and then like, oh, I've met that person.
No, I've totally
that type. I know that person. You know, seen that I've seen that in action, and holy shit.
Yeah. And that's what I like about the show, because they're willing to, like, because they were partnered with Ubisoft, I was like, they're not going to touch certain subjects, but they totally do.
I didn't even know that.
So they shot a lot of the stuff at Ubisoft's studios, I believe.
Wow. I didn't know
that. That's why in the first season, there's a lot of like Assassin's Creed footage and For Honor footage spliced in between. Yeah. And then season two, they kind of just like gave up on that. And then there's just like, Aloy is taking down someone in the last episode that I saw. And I'm like, why? Yeah. What? But yeah, Mythic Quest is, they have some sort of partnership with Ubisoft. So I always thought that's why I kind of put off seeing the show, because I'm like, I mean, it's just going to turn into like an ad, or they're not going to be able to touch on certain subjects, but they do touch on a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, they do.
which I respect the show for so much. And then it's always funny. And then the episodes where they get super serious again, I'm just like, how are you capable of having this range as a TV show? But then you look at the writers, and it's, you know, it's Rob McInerney. I'm always bad with his name. And then like Charlie Day's an executive producer. Megan Gans, who's a writer on Community, is on there. And then Ashley Birch writes episodes as well.
Yeah, she was writing some of them too.
So you see like why the show is so good in terms of its writing and character development.
Yeah. It's close to, it's funny, it's close to, and I know there are people who don't like him, but it's close to like a Ricky Gervais level of where you can have, you can be laughing your ass off, or you can get to a point where there's such emotion in it that you're crying, and then he'll flip a joke on you right in the middle of it and make so you got tears streaming down your face and you're laughing and you're like, motherfucker, how do you do that to me? You know?
Yeah.
And they're that good where they can get you that depth with those silly characters. You get so much depth in some of them, and you get so involved in their stories, and it can be deep and emotional and hilarious at the same time. It's crazy.
Yeah, like it's so good at that. And some of the burns that they give to each other are just like, there's multiple times where I'm just like, holy shit, they went in on that character. I'm hoping it gets to season three. It sounds like Apple's pretty generous with like, not, they haven't canceled a show yet. It might be a while for season three though, because they're shooting It's Always Sunny, like that just started to shoot now, and I think they asked Rob, like, who plays Ian, like, does he have an idea for season three, and he's like, no, because I'm shooting It's Always Sunny. I'll think of season three stuff when I'm in a writer's room, which is just like, it's gonna be a while before we get a season three.
What's his face was doing two shows. I'd say he was doing Sunny, It's Always Sunny, and
AP Bio.
Yeah. Where he played essentially the same character.
Yeah.
They really should have just said it was him, you know?
Yeah. Cause didn't he disappear for like half a season for It's Always Sunny? Like, he wasn't in every episode. He'd kind of just wander off. They could have just said he was living a double life or
that
something.
That would have been so much funnier. And what would be amazing is if I don't know if AP Bio is still going on. I haven't seen it in a long time, but
yeah, I'm not sure.
If they get to that point and they know it's ending, they should write that in, that, oh, like the Always Sunny people show up, like they follow him one time and they're like, what the fuck are you doing here? He's like, what?
Yeah.
And he's living a double life. Like, it was, the whole thing was a fake story that he was he was this teacher.
Yeah. I think the show's still going. IMDb doesn't have an end date for AP Bio. It says 2018-2, and then it's blanks, which means it might still be going, but who knows. But yeah, I've been watching Mythic Quest. I'll just jump into what I'm playing, which isn't a ton of stuff. I mentioned earlier, I'm replaying Battlefield Bad Company 1. I just wanted to go through like Bad Company 1 and 2 again, just to remind me of why I like those games and want a third one. Because I enjoyed the single-player campaigns for them, and I also loved the multiplayer, but the single-player campaigns were fun. It still holds up pretty well, at least so far. We'll see. Like, I don't remember exactly where it goes, so hopefully they're not committing too many war crimes. Then I'm going to be like, oh, this is weird. played Overcooked All You Can Eat Edition, I believe what it's called on a PS5, and this is just a collection of Overcooked 1, Overcooked 2, and all the DLC that came out for them. And then I've been playing Moving Out, which is another like couch co-op game. So playing those. Moving Out, I don't know if I'm going to like finish it. It's fun, but after you do like four or five houses, basically it's just like, for those not familiar with the game, Moving Out is just, you basically are a moving company and you have to pack everything, or not pack, but like move everything from the house into the truck by any means necessary, by breaking windows, breaking doors, sometimes breaking the items. After doing like four or five houses, I don't know if it's worth continuing and finishing it. It doesn't really increase in diversity or challenge enough so far, like Overcooked has been able to do. Like Overcooked is constantly throwing new challenges and stuff at you, and new like gameplay mechanics. So gonna go through all the Overcooked games. Me and Sarah had beaten the first one, but I don't think we ever touched any of the DLC, so we're gonna just replay all of one in the DLC and then move on to two. Nice. The main game I've been playing is Pokemon Unite. This is a free-to-play game on the Switch. This is basically a Pokemon MOBA. So it's the top-down view. It is a very light MOBA. I mean, you have your different lanes and you have your creeps, but your creeps are just shitty Pokemon, like super weak Pokemon. So you have different Pokemon that you can choose from, and you collect cards, so you can choose more. That's where the free to play aspect comes in. There's different ways to like level up your Pokemon and level up like your items that you hold while you're playing, like health and stuff. But it's got me hooked because like MOBAs get overly complicated and are way too like attention demanding. And this, because it's a Nintendo game, it's a Pokemon game, is a very light experience. It's a little slower moving than what most MOBAs are you'd find on PC, like League of Legends, in terms of like player movement. But I just like the aspect of like evolving your Pokemon through the match. So your Pokemon will evolve as you do better, as you kill more creeps, as you score more points. So you'll start with a Charmander, it'll go to a Charmeleon, and then it goes to a Charizard, and their attacks and abilities will change with that. And I've just had a really good time playing that and get into that gameplay loop, which is just kill the creep Pokemon and take the Pokeballs that you get from that and score them into your opponent's goal while also fighting and defending against the other trainers and their Pokemon. I really like the gameplay mechanics, though someone was telling me that there is some potential play to win mechanics that might like stunt the potential of this game. But so far, by just doing quick play, I haven't run into any instances where I'm like, oh, I didn't win because someone paid to win through that entire match by like having the most leveled up, whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm enjoying playing it on a casual level. I'm sure once I get into ranked, if the pay-to-win mechanics are really heavy, I could totally see it ruining the experience. But casually playing it, not really taking it serious, matches are 10 minutes long, I'm having a good time playing that. And it's free-to-play, so I'm not like freaking out over it. And I don't know if I'm going to spend money in it. I doubt it, unless I really get into it. But playing that, and I'm winning for the most part. So that's why I'm not really too like worried about like pay to win, unless my teammates are paying to win and I'm just benefiting from my teammates paying to win. But it's been for the most part pretty easy to win matches. I only lost like a handful, but again, they're only 10 minute matches, so it's not that big of a deal when you lose one because it's like 10 minutes. And it's been making me use I got a mount for my pro controller where you can mount the Switch onto your pro controller.
Oh yeah,
we talked about that. Yeah, and I've been playing Pokemon Unite exclusively with that thing. That thing has turned into my Switch. Like my Switch is only coming off that thing to charge on the dock, and then it's immediately being thrown into that mount. Which I guess I'm just locked into that, to this current Switch, because I love that mount too much for me to buy the OLED Switch. which I think is a little bit longer, so I don't know if it'll go in that mount. So I'm locked into this one, but I'm fine not having an OLED Switch. That's it for playing. I'm just kind of waiting for The Great Ace Attorney to come out this week. That is like the next big game I'm playing that I'm excited for. Me and Sarah played the Ace Attorney in quarantine last year, the remastered Ace Attorney games, and they were so much fun that I'm super excited to play this again, or play The Great Ace Attorney for the first time. And then when it comes to watching, it's just been a lot of White Sox games. It's been Mythic Quest, because I finished the two seasons in like 2 weeks. It was like an episode a night or two episodes a night. And then I started the Fear Street trilogy for the movie podcast. Started with Fear Street 1994. I loved that movie. This is R.L. Stine, his like young adult series turned into a movie thing for Netflix. And just the gimmick that every week they're going to release a different movie in a different time period, and they're all connected. So the first one took place in 1994, the second one is 1978, and then the third one is 1666. So,
wow.
I love that aspect. I love connected universes. It's why I'm so into the MCU. You know, it's why when you're talking about Star Wars, you know, like I like stuff that's like connected and has a through line through the whole thing. So having Netflix release a trilogy a week apart, I love that aspect of it. So excited to finish up that trilogy, and it was actually pretty good. So hopefully they don't fuck it up and make a bad second and third movie.
So something in there reminded me, have you watched Letterkenny?
No, but I've heard that name before. I would have to look at the art.
You need to watch it. It's Letterkenny. It's essentially Hicks in a small town in Canada, and it's fucking hilarious.
Is it a Trailer Park Boys sort of thing?
Sort of, but it's very much its own thing. And just watch the first 5 minutes of the first episode, and if that doesn't hook you right in, I don't know what will.
Okay,
but. I started watching it when I was laying there miserable, and it's like 3 a.m. and I'm wide awake and I'm in pain, and I'm like, I need something to take my mind off just being here miserable in the dark at 3 a.m. And I found it on Hulu. One of the guys I work with said, you got to watch this. And, I started watching
seasons.
It and yeah.
Oh,
and
wow.
That was the thing. I was blowing through the seasons. Like in a couple nights, I was already into season 6, and I'm like, I'm going too fast. I got to slow down because I'm gonna get right to the end of it, and I wanna still have some to watch, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really funny. It's really good. So honestly, just watch.
I'll add it to my list because it's on Hulu. So
yeah. So just watch the beginning, the first. You know, the first right till they get to the opening credits of the first episode. And if that doesn't grab you, like, I don't know what will, because it's fucking awesome.
I'll definitely check it out. I promised Dave I would start Ted Lasso, even though I don't like Jason Sudeikis or college football or soccer. But I'll add that to my list of stuff that I need to check out.
Yeah, I've held off on that because I'm not a Jason Sudeikis kind of guy either.
Yeah, no, it's funny though. Like, people are like, why don't you like about him? He's like, I just don't like him. Like, there's actually nothing offensive he's done or anything. I'm just not a fan of his.
There's a couple of those guys that I look at them I'm like, okay, you're supposed to laugh because they kind of look funny, but they always seem to play the same character. And
that's my Will Ferrell problem. Where I'm not a Will Ferrell fan.
He is the main offender on that.
He
basically put him in a funny wig and you'll just laugh. And he's going to play the same goofy, dumb character.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to hear it. You know?
Exactly. But like, I could name like one or two Will Ferrell movies I like. But like, if you put him on the credit or like on the poster, I'm not going to immediately want to see it. I'm going to be like, you're going to have to talk me into this Will Ferrell movie before I see it.
Like,
and I'm kind of like
Elf, I loved. Look,
Elf is good.
But all the other ones, like the all the same character ones, like Anchorman and the racing one and the basketball one, and it's, you know,
yeah, it was the whole,
all the same dumb stuff.
Yeah, it was the frat pack run that him and like all those guys had. He basically played the same character in all of his movies.
Come at me, internet.
But it's funny though. It's just like I don't. It's not that I dislike Jason Sudeikis or Will Ferrell. It's just they just don't interest me as actors. So when I see them, it's just like I'm not really gonna want to give this a chance.
Yeah.
All right.
Show me something different, and I'll be happy to watch it. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, I had to take a sip of water.
A different character from that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I mean. So, but who knows?
All right. Let's get into questions. We got just a few questions here. Jacob asks, what do you think about the Steam Deck? We talked about the Steam Deck last week, but I'm assuming this is more for you, unless Jacob didn't listen to last week. But what do you think of the Steam Deck?
Damn you, Jacob. You better have listened last week. I think it's freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually really excited for it. I almost went and did the pre-order, but I just figured, I'll wait. And I'll never, you know, it'll be impossible to find because chip shortages and everything else. But I figure when I want to get it, I'll be able to get it. The funny thing is, now remember, I got this way overpowered computer like a year ago. And mainly so I could finally play PC games. I haven't played a single friggin' game on it.
Yeah, I mean, I have a gaming PC, and before I got my Series X, I was using my PC for Game Pass games, and then I got my Series X, and I have not touched my PC like at all for gaming. I only use it to podcast, and Sarah uses it for work. That's it.
Yeah, and I keep thinking, well, all right, maybe that'll help because I have a massive list of games on Steam that I own.
Yeah.
Because I did buy during the sales and all these other things. I was getting codes for them constantly. I still do get codes for some of them. It's absurd.
When it's a game on Steam, I guess I get so many codes because like I will just get stuff and then I'll look at my email. I'm like, why did I get? I showed no interest in this, but I have the code.
Yeah, but and some of the ones I'm getting are the people I know, and they're like, here, just take a code. I'm like, I don't know if I'm ever going to play it. They're like, I don't care. Just take a code. You know? But having like a portable version where I could just play all those games. And the last thing I saw the other day was they haven't found a game yet that it couldn't handle on Steam.
Yeah. Tech wise. Yeah.
Testing.
Yeah. But there are games that just aren't compatible with SteamOS, which is something that they have to work on.
Yeah,
because I think it's like 4 of the top 10 games on the Steam sales don't work on SteamOS, but that's because they're multiplayer games and they use anti-cheat stuff, and SteamOS does not like anti-cheat software. But
that's okay. I'm not looking for a multiplayer game on there anyway.
Like I use my Switch primarily as a indie game machine, and most indie games come to Steam first. So the Steam machine should be able to run any indie game on high settings. Better than the Switch. So that's why I'm interested in the Steam Deck. And then part of me is like, I'm not getting it day one. But based on how Steam Valve gives up on their hardware and then does fire sales on it, part of me is just like, I don't think this is going to go down to like the $5 Steam Link price or the $5 controller price.
Yep.
But if this doesn't work out for them and they have plenty in stock, I would be perfectly fine picking this up in 2 years with its low tech specs that it would be in 2 years and then just use it for indie games or like crazy Steam library. That's also several years of me purchasing stuff on sale or getting codes and then never using them.
Yeah, absolutely. That's been in the back of my mind. Just the way they bring out this hardware and it's around for a little bit and then they just abandon the whole thing and walk away from it. So
I've almost bought Steam controllers several times, even though I have no use for them because they go down to like $5 where the shipping costs more than the actual hardware. And that's in the back of my head.
I still haven't done that. I did get the whatever the other one was.
Steam Link?
Steam Link, because I got it for free. It was $20, and there was like a $20 coupon on it. So you're basically getting it for free. And I was like, well, fuck yeah. If I'm getting it for free, why not?
Yeah, I think there was a while where they were selling it for a dollar, but you had to pay $5 shipping or something crazy like that. And I've always been like, maybe I'll get it. I'm like, no, I'm just wasting plastic, but I should have. But come up every once in a while.
I honestly thought I was going to hook it up to my TV and do the whole thing, and I just never got around to it. So
So between the Switch OLED and the Steam Deck announcement, everyone's been asking. We actually have two questions. And I'll put them next to each other. So the first one is from Randy. He says, do you think there should be a new Vita? And then along the same lines, AliShan7 asks, with the Nintendo updated Switch model coming and Valve surprising consumers with their own, do you feel this is forcing Sony's hand to get back in the handheld market or for them to try it again? I'll let you go first.
Well, no. That's where short answer, no.
Yeah.
PlayStation has, they've got very different priorities right now. The last thing they want to do is go build out another piece of hardware and try to sell that.
It'll take years to R&D up and then.
Yeah. They felt a little bit. I don't know how much I can say at this point. I spoke as the Vita was dying. We were speaking to very high up people in PlayStation at some of the events. And we asked them point blank, like, what's really going on here? And we got some straight answers. But I think, and obviously there's been a turnover, you know, in the higher ups, and who knows what their ideas are. But as a company, I think PlayStation felt a little burned by what had gone on. Like, the Vita was great tech at the wrong time. Because it was right as mobile phones were coming out and the mobile phone gaming space was taking off, and it got burned by that. And as a company, I just don't see them putting the money and the R&D and the effort into another platform again and trying it all over again. Even if Steam Deck is successful, watching the Switch, like, if they didn't do something with the PS5, that was always the thought. Like, everybody's like, well, what if the PS5 has like some mobile option with it? You know, like,
that would have been
like
a
Switch type thing. That was the chance to do it. And they didn't do it there. They're not going back. Unless there's a major change in management and a huge shakeup, I don't see them going back there anytime in the next 5-10 years.
Yeah, no, I feel like they've been burned too many times. I mean, PSP was successful, but it wasn't Nintendo successful. They gave it another shot with the Vita. The constant thing I keep hearing come up more and more is, like, as soon as the Vita was cracked, they were just like, okay, we're not going to go through what we went through with the PSP. And that kind of killed momentum.
Yeah.
So I think they were burned with the Vita in terms of, like, hey, we have the hardware. It's really impressive. But no one's buying it. And then they try to go all digital. And then retailers were like, well, if you're going to go all digital, you're not going to get shelf space. And they had no alternative for that, really. So they've been burnt too many times, and I don't see them spending like the 2 or 3 years to R&D something up unless they already had something cooking. But even then, it sounds like that felt like
they did not.
Yeah,
I can tell you that right now. They did not.
But there's always someone tinkering. But like, even then, it'll be half baked, and then we'll end up in a situation where like the Move came out and it was kind of old hardware being applied to the VR thing, because that's what you'll end up getting. They'll look at their patents and be like, well, we kind of have a Vita 2 patent, and then they'll have to try and like jam parts in it to get it to like be something. And I don't think they can afford right now, even with PS5, and the PlayStation brand making so much money, I don't think they can afford to like take a risk and like take a bath in like a handheld thing if it doesn't go on. I will say, yeah. I said it last week, but I'm sure there's engineers that worked on the Vita and they're looking at people celebrating the OLED on the Switch. And they're seeing people celebrating the Steam Deck of being like, it's a more powerful, a more powerful Switch. And they're probably like, you sons of bitches, where were you guys in 2011 or whenever the Vita came out?
With the OLED back then.
Yeah. And a, like the Vita and the Switch are probably
2010,
not,
I think.
Yeah. The Switch and Vita aren't that far apart power-wise. Like, Switch is more powerful, but they're not like crazy far apart. So I'm sure there was an engineer from the Vita team that's just like, where were you guys when we had an OLED handheld that was quite powerful for the time?
I mean, that was the big deal. Oh, 2012. Shit. Mm. Yeah. Oh. Wait, hang on. And stupid, I didn't look it up on the internet. I'm going back through my game list.
Oh my god!
And looking at the games I reviewed at launch, because then I'll know exactly when those games came out and when the Vita came out.
December 2011 in Japan, North America February 2012.
February 2012. Yes, that's when it was. Yes, but yeah, Luminous Electronic Symphony was 2012. So yeah. It's a shame because I have I have 139 physical games for the Vita, at least that are in my list here. There are a bunch that I don't have in my database. But I still play that every now and then. It sits right next to my bed, plugged in its little stand that I got from Japan. It's a little charging stand that I got from Japan, which is
I got
badass.
This nice display stand that's behind me. You can't see it because it's too dark in a thing, but I have my PSP on display and my Vita on display. I plug them in from time to time because I found out the PSP battery will explode if you don't charge it from time to time.
Yeah. Yeah, those batteries are trouble. It's just the PlayStation has moved on from that, and they're not. And like I said, unless there's a major change in the management and their philosophy and where they want to go as a company, they're just not even thinking handheld at this point. They're not looking that direction.
They're making too much money on a PS5 to even consider changing up their core business like right now.
Now watch, next spring they announce, oh, guess what's coming? But look, right now, think about it. So they're still working on the PS5 launch, and they've still got that going. So they've got all that manufacturing going on. They also have all their R&D on the next PlayStation VR.
Yeah.
That's the second platform they're launching. They're not looking to go handheld while
they're trying to launch
a new VR.
And they're already most likely working on a PS5 Pro, because there will be a PS5 Pro. I guarantee it. And they're already probably got a very small team looking at the PS6. Like, realistically.
Well, yeah. Yeah. That always happens. Once the launch is solidified and you're up and running, then a team starts looking at, all right, where do we go next?
Yeah. So I don't think they
have
room.
That's what always happens.
For a Vita team right now or a PSP2 team. If they were, do you think they go Vita 2 or PSP2? I think PSP2. Or just a whole new name.
It would probably be a whole new. If anything, it would probably be a whole new name.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it would. I'd say more Vita 2 than PSP 2, just because that was the newer the, and it was a different name.
PSP 3.
Okay, they're doing an Xbox now.
They just rewrite history.
Or they call it PlayStation Portable 1.
Yes.
How about that?
The PlayStation Portable. The PSP.
Yeah, let's go the Xbox route, the Microsoft route, and just fuck everything up.
Works for Apple.
Okay. So where are we at?
Yeah. Moving on. Yeah, last question, which we'll kind of get into the something I wanted to talk to Josh about. Unrelated, but kind of related. Yvonne or Yvonne asks, many new, the way they worded this, Game Pass, many hot new games are not part of it. So I end up buying the cool new games and then still paying $150 plus a year on a sub. Do you think it's amazing for content creators, but perhaps not so great for paying members of the public? So they're asking, because the current thing with Game Pass is people hear a lot of media talk about Game Pass, and there's been a lot of resistance because people are tired of hearing about, like, Game Pass. what this person's asking is, like, do you think it's only great for people making content and not great for just the average person? I'm going to say it's actually not great for content creators because twofold. Content creators thrive when they get access early to stuff. And you don't get early access with Game Pass stuff. And two, Game Pass kind of defeats the purpose of even reviewing a game when the game is just going to be available on a service that a bunch of people are already subscribing to. And we kind of see that with, like, streaming movies. We're like, no one gives a shit about movie direct-to-streaming movie reviews because it's just, there's no cost really that the consumer has to put to, and now
you don't feel that cost.
And now with Game Pass stuff coming day one, I don't read reviews for any games coming to Game Pass day one because I'm just gonna have access to it, so it doesn't matter what the quality is. I can test it for myself and make my own opinion on it. But I don't know how you feel about it. Do you think it's better for content creators than it is for the average person, or no, I think it's good for everybody,
I think it's good for everybody. I think the way I look at it, it's very much like all the streaming services that have popped up, like Disney Plus, and you've got Netflix, and you've got Hulu, and you've got HBO Max, and you've got all these things going on. It's just a place where there's a ton of games available to just play. You just sit down, you can just play whatever you got. Now, you know, they've kind of pulled back on a lot of the big games. Obviously, everything first party Microsoft is coming out day one and will be on there. But I love it, honestly. And I wish it frustrates the hell out of me that Sony bought Gaikai, PlayStation bought Gaikai way back when. They were the leading edge in all these streaming services. When they were announcing the PS4, they were showing all these amazing things they were going to do with Gaikai and how you'd be able to play pretty much everything just on demand. It was going to be the Netflix of games, and it turned into PlayStation Now, which they bungled and just
now fucked it just up exists.
The pricing structure and all that stuff. Yeah, and now I have a subscription to PlayStation Now, and I've been trying to make a conscious effort to play more of those games, because at least the PS3 ones, because it's easier, you know, than finding the disc. But at the same time, it just bugs the shit out of me that you've got the technology.
They had the lead.
You had the lead. You can play the PS3 stuff. You should be able to do the PS2 and the PS1. Forget backward compatibility on the PS5 that everybody's upset about. Put PlayStation Now on there and give us access to all those games all the way back to PS1. And I know there's licensing, and I know there's, you know, technical issues to get those things up and running, but
Sony publishes a lot of games. They have the rights to a lot of games that aren't on there.
They really do.
Not all the Resistance games were on there.
Would want to play.
Yeah, I was pissed.
It's frustrating, you know? So, like, PlayStation Now is a shadow of what it should be, and it looks 10 times worse when Xbox, you know, Game Pass exists. Yeah. It just, it looks so bad, and I'm so impressed, and so at the same time, you know, it's like a double-edged sword. You know, I'm so impressed and so happy that I can play any of those all the way back to the original Xbox, a lot of them that show up on Game Pass. They're just there and you can play them.
Yeah.
There is that issue of, okay, they're available until they're not.
Yeah. They're still, and you're safe with the first party ones, but all the third party ones are just up for grabs, will disappear. Yeah.
So if there's something you really like, you better go find that disc before it becomes super expensive.
Which is why Microsoft has been just buying companies, because it's just like, we'll just have their catalog forever.
Exactly. And we can throw that, because now Bethesda is a first party studio and all their stuff's going to be day one on Game Pass, you know,
and their legacy stuff will be there forever because there's no one to negotiate with.
Yeah. So it's brilliant on their part, and they've really done a good job with it, and I love it. I have a lot of the original Xbox games I have that I have out on the shelf. I don't even bother picking them up. A couple I did. I brought upstairs, and I love the fact that I can take Jade Empire, I think it is, and just take that and throw it in the Series X and play it.
Yeah.
And it works. It's amazing. I wish I could do that with my PlayStation games to show the kids, because it becomes such a hassle to, well, all right, I got this PS1 game. I don't have a PS1. I have a PS2 that we could probably play it on, but that's downstairs or upstairs in the bedroom. So let's go figure this out, you know?
The worst part about that is PS1 emulation and PS2 emulation, they got it down to software for the PS3 and technically on the PS4. So there's like literally not much stopping them for software emulation to work and you to pop your disc in to the system, because that's how they handled it for the 80 gig models. So that's always frustrating. Well,
you know what's stopping them? I do know this because I heard this directly from somebody at PlayStation. It's money. It's simply the fact that they did this. They put a bunch of money into it and I remember the E3 where they were showing these off, where they gave you a digital download. They were like $10 or $15 depending on the game. Mm-hmm. And you could buy the Grand Theft Auto series.
Three,
Vice City, San Andreas, which of course I bought. And there were a bunch of PS2 games that you could buy. They had trophy support. They had slightly better graphics. They did all the stuff that Microsoft is doing now. And they did it in a limited run sort of way. And you could see it like at E3, where they were showing this off, and that whole Sony booth, everybody was at all the TVs except for the one showing that stuff. Nobody gave a shit.
Yeah.
And it reflected in the sales of them too on the store. Nobody bought them. Not enough people bought them for them as a company to justify, let's keep doing this. They just said, fuck this. It's not worth the money. And they walked away from it.
Financially, just it didn't make sense. And me and Dave talk about this all the time. The only reason Xbox put so much effort into that is because they knew their first party lineup wasn't great.
Oh, yeah.
And they needed to find a win wherever they could. And that's the problem I think people have with Game Pass right now, is like, there's no big exclusives on Game Pass, new exclusives. But that's going to change starting this holiday based on all the purchases they made. I don't think people realize how crazy Microsoft's going to be the next 3 years in terms of how often they are going to be able to release an exclusive, like AAA game over the next 3 to probably 5 years, to where they, you know, like we feel spoiled. Like in 2018, we had Spider-Man, God of War, and there was another Detroit, I think, was like PlayStation's 2018 Horizon 2. So we had all those games in like 1 year, and that was crazy. And then Microsoft was never able to do that, but Microsoft is going to have the chance. Starting maybe not this holiday, there are some exclusives, but it's like Horizon, Forza Horizon. That's like their big holiday game. But starting next year, they're going to be able to release like exclusive games at a consistent rate. It's going to probably change a lot of people's like perspective. I do want to talk.
They're not done yet. They're going to buy another two, three studios.
Yeah, it's an arms race. And then they're still making deals with, like, Kojima apparently has a deal, like, in the works with them. Not for ownership, but just for games. So they're going to sign those sort of deals as well. But it's funny, as we're talking about now, I've been going on a little bit of journey. I've been wanting to play games from my childhood, so I've been looking at, like, my PS3 collection.
Oh my gosh, your childhood is PS3? Holy shit.
No, it's not quite. My teenage years is PS3.
Oh my gosh.
I bought my PS3 sophomore year, I think.
Wow.
Or junior year. Sophomore or junior year. But, you know, like, I looked at PS Now, I got a little frustrated because I'm like, I want to play all three Resistance games, and they didn't have all three Resistance games on there. I think they only had three or two.
Yeah.
But they didn't have all three.
No, it's only the third one from what I remember. Because I loved the first one, and I've been dying to play it again, and it's not there.
And the Series X has kind of got me nostalgic because, again, the Game Pass goes pretty deep, which is why I'm playing the Bad Company games. But I looked at PS Now. I'm like, okay, what's available? Got a little frustrated. Then I looked at my collection of physical discs for the PS3, and I got a little mad at myself because I would trade in games to purchase other games. So that sent me, you know, I didn't have money, so you do what you got to do to get new games, you know?
After I sold the Genesis and every single game that I had for it, and they took every single thing except the 32X unit itself.
Yeah.
So that I could buy the PS1. After I did that, I was like, you know what? Never again. I have to hold on to this stuff, because then I ended up going back and buying all the Genesis and all those games all over again. So I've held on to everything since then.
So,
and added.
Sorry about that. So I've been going through my collection and I'm just like, oh crap, I don't have this game anymore. I don't have that game anymore. And we talked a little bit about this when the PS3 store was going to be closed, but they reversed that. But because they even suggested that they were going to close the store, it skyrocketed physical games like to astronomical prices. So now I've been kind of eBay hunting of stuff, of just like, okay, Resistance 3 was the only Resistance game that I was missing. So I bought that, got it for $20. Cool. I was in like, okay, I sold 3D Dot Game Heroes back in the day. That game is now one of the most expensive PS3 games you can find.
Is it really?
The disc alone on eBay goes for like $60. If you have complete in box, it could go anywhere from $80 to $200, depending on like the condition of it.
Mine's mint.
So I tracked that down. I was able to get like a deal. I was able to pay $60 for it. But the fact that I pay $60 for a used game from 10 years ago is like crazy to me. And then I fall down a rabbit hole of like, do I still have the Sly Cooper collection? Oh, crap. That is also now a $70 to $80 game used. But luckily, I did have it. Puppeteer is like a $100 game if you have it complete in box. Because that was also not... I still have Puppeteer. So I was basically going through my collection and being like, what do I have of value? And there's so many weird games that the value is ridiculous. Shadows of the Damned is now an $80 game if you have it used. If you have it sealed somehow, it is like guaranteed you'll get over $100 for it.
That's the fun thing. I have an entire box upstairs in the attic, like a crate of the sealed PS3 games that I never opened up.
I would love for you to take a picture of that just so I can see what's like treasure trove you're sitting on.
Probably not a lot of great games. Like,
no, but
all the really great games I opened up, you know?
But Shadow of the Damned is not a great game, but because it wasn't printed too much, it goes for like $100-something now. Asura's Wrath is another one of those games that I was like, oh, I could have sworn I had that, but I don't anymore. Try to look it up on eBay and Amazon. Prices are ridiculous, but it's backwards compatible on the Xbox Series X, so it's a $14 download. So I'm like, okay, I guess I'll just pick that up on a Series X because I want it physically, but it's not worth it to me price-wise. But now I'm looking at my copy of Puppeteer, which I think might still be sealed. And I'm looking at it just like, this is now worth like two or three other games that I want. So now I might start looking at like the trade market for games, just so I can like build out my collection, even if I have to sacrifice Puppeteer.
That'd be a tough sacrifice, man.
It will be. That's especially such a good game. But it's one of those things, though, where as I'm trying to rebuild my collection, I'm looking at some of my games that now have a crazy value to them for no reason other than the fact that the PS Store was going to close.
Yeah.
If you have a physical copy of Pain, you have a shit ton of money. Like, I was looking at physical copies of Pain, and they go for like $150 to $250.
Did they really?
Because they did not make a lot. I think it was only printed in like the EU and maybe in Canada. But you know that 4-pack of PSN games that was like Tokyo Jungle, Fat Princess? That is worth like, that was a $40 bundle that now is going for like $100 to $200.
See, that's the one. I'm sitting here scrolling through my list of PS3 games because I'm looking for that one. I know I it's in a, that one's not in a box. It's in the drawer in my bedroom.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I still had that out, and that's sealed.
Yeah, and that's,
I never had a reason to open it.
Yeah, and I never had a reason to pick it up either because I owned all those games, but I had an opportunity to have it. You know, a couple times. That's
the PlayStation Network, Volume 1.
And it was never Volume 2, which makes it even more valuable because it's like this weird anomaly release from Sony of just like, they planned to do more, it didn't sell well, so they didn't do any more.
So that came out in 2013. It was when Vikings Attack,
Tokyo Jungle,
Tokyo Jungle, and Fat Princess, yeah.
Yeah, if you look at the eBay price for that, it's kind of stupid. And these prices right now are down because they're not closing a PS3 store. They were even more like 3 months ago, which is why the only reason.
And they will close the store.
So yeah, which is why back up again. I'm kind of jumping in now. Because this is going to be the only time I can get them at like somewhat reasonable prices before they skyrocket again. And then I won't have a chance. But it's crazy.
So maybe I can use this as my retirement fund because at least listed here, and I know I don't have a complete list, unfortunately, and maybe one of these days I'll be able to go through everything and make sure I do have a complete list in this database. Mm-hmm. I have 491 physical PS3 games.
Yeah.
That's just in here. So, and I don't know how many are sealed.
Yeah. So right now a loose disc for Puppeteer is going for $52.
Duh.
Just the disc. If you have one of the fancy ones that had like a special art book, which I believe this is a media only one, that is going at a minimum of like $150. It's kind of crazy. I do have,
you know, all right, so even better, that little art book.
Yeah.
I have that.
The little curtain signed, one or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Signed by the developer.
So here's a weird thing. People are so weird now that would probably devalue it, sadly. Of course. But the reason people are going crazy right now is because like the fucking Mario 64 in box sold for $1 million.
Yeah.
So now it's driving up the prices for any physical game. But because honestly, Sony said they're closing the store, has driven up PS3 games to like a crazy price as well.
I honestly believe that crazy auction was like two very rich guys just going back and forth on it, wanting it
more
than the other. That's the only reason
it's
it got
a
that
crazy
high.
Money laundering thing because.
Oh, that's possible. Sure.
Yeah. But we do have a bunch of like Bitcoin millionaires now who are probably just like, yeah, I remember that game. And then they buy it for a stupid price. Yeah, a sealed copy of Puppeteer right now is going for $130, and people are bidding on it, so it's going to go up more.
So I looked, I pulled up just the sealed ones.
Yeah.
I have Madden NFL 09 en Español sealed. Because I was like, dude, what the fuck? And I bought it because I was like, where, why? All right, I'm buying this.
Yeah.
But I've got a whole bunch of other things that are sealed, like a whole bunch of, I've got like a MLB bobblehead, which is from Konami from Japan.
Okay.
So it's a weird Japanese one. Ni no Kuni, Sealed. Okami, Sealed.
Ni no Kuni is actually going for a lot of money right now. The first one as well.
Yep.
Even though it's been remastered, I believe. But again, it's that they said they're closing a store, so people are wanting PS3 games right now. 360 games aren't like going for crazy prices, and that's because backwards compatibility is kind of and their store being all their games for the most part.
Okay, you remember Siren?
Siren is going for game? Yeah, Siren's going. I was looking to pick up Siren because I never picked it up physically, but I had it digitally. I saw that going for like $70 minimum. Like that's where the starting would be.
So I have, because I think they eventually brought it out here in the US, but and at first in the US they only had it on the PSN. I got a physical copy from Japan, and that's sealed.
That is I'm looking at it on eBay right now because again I've been looking at all this shit a lot. $70 for the Japanese Asian release for Siren. Nice. Cuz I
Top
believe
Gun,
it
Top Gun Wingman edition, which includes the movie on the same disc.
That's such a weird thing, but like,
And I'm sure I have the Days of Thunder one too, and the Chow Yun Fat movie, whatever that one was. You remember that one?
Yeah. It came with Hard Boiled.
Hard Boiled. Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
I got all the weird shit. I was like, oh, I gotta buy that.
The really shitty Watchmen game, I think, came with the Watchmen movie. When that came out.
Oh. So, all right, I don't know if this is going to hurt you or not, but Kingdom Hearts 1.5 Remix, 2.5 Remix, they're both sealed. One of them is one of those special edition copies, which has a little pendant with it.
So those are going for a lot because of the pendant. Like, the other ones aren't because they're backwards compatible and they're on PC now, but, like, the pendant ones... So there's two people to sell that to, Kingdom Hearts fans and Disney pin people.
Well... And that's why I brought it up to you. Since
I'm both. Yeah. All right. We'll stop here. Me and Josh will probably continue to talk about this.
That's crazy.
But thanks for listening, guys. Dave will be back next week. So it'll be me and Dave. You can find us on Twitter at Digital Days Pod. You can find Josh at PJF. What is your Twitter? I forgot.
PJF Josh.
PJF Josh. My brain broke. Dave is at The Good Dave Hunt, and then I'm at The First MJC. Don't know what we'll talk about next week. Definitely talking about Ace Attorney and Dave's vacation adventure. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next week.